Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on May 13th, 2014. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, now that's all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/The South Bay Show, or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds, knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with Solid Roots in the Community and a partnership with the Official Disaster Preparation Establishment. Our producer is founder and president of the local Manhattan Beach CERT Association and the Red Cross's community ambassador to Manhattan Beach, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. I am fine, and I can't wait to hear what you've got to say today.
And with us today is owner, producer, writer of SouthBayByJackie.com, Jackie Balestra, a graduated CERT member. Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I'm doing very well.
Yes.
Well, I can't wait to hear what everybody has to say.
You didn't tell me, Jackie, it was going to be like this.
Well, that would have ruined all the fun.
This is going to be a lot of fun. This is a special show that we're doing to highlight the training that I'm now going through for the very first time, CERT training, Community Emergency Response Team training in Manhattan Beach,
We're so proud of you. We're so proud of you that you're doing this.
Exactly.
We've been after you for a couple of years to get on this, and now you're finally doing it.
Right, and we I've talked with some of the other class members, and there's never a good time. You're always busy. There's always something coming up. It's today is Mother's Day, for goodness sakes. But it's okay. I didn't need to get prepared.
Actually, Sunday was Mother's Day.
Oh, right. Well, I'm sorry. Like you were saying, Sunday was Mother's Day, and I was in class all day the day before, and it was hard, but it was worth it. And so, George, I just have a new respect for people that go through CERT training. It's like going through any experience. You know what each other has been through, and so you have something in common, and what we went through yesterday.
You mean Saturday?
I do. What we went through Saturday was amazing, and this is part two, the second Saturday, and it's. Can you just give us an outline of what the second Saturday is normally about?
Sure. Yeah, of course. In our 8 hours in number two, and sometimes we switch them up depending on when the fire department is available to help us with our fire safety and our live fire training. But this last Saturday, we had three of our, actually, I mean, it's four because there is a part one and two. There is, we started out with disaster medical.
Hmm.
And people come to classes and they want to learn first aid. They want to learn CPR. And this we don't teach in CERP.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely different. It's considered disaster medical. And our mantra is doing the greatest good for the greatest number.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, and there were some people in the class that you could see a little apprehension about somebody, you going in and finding a number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And what maybe the first or second one you come to that's not breathing, you want to start giving that person CPR. You mm-hmm. want to spend some time and see if you can revive that person. In disasters, you're not going to have that luxury. There may be two or three of you, and there may be 10 or 15 people that need help in a mass casualty incident, which is what we're speaking of here. And it doesn't have to be in a disaster. It could be in a bus crash.
Mm-hmm.
It could be in a collapse of a balcony or something. And it's going to be at a point where as you go through the class, you understand that our first responders, our police and our fire, are not the first responders. We as citizens in our neighborhoods are going to be the first responders on scene.
Right.
So that's different. After that, we went on to, and we had two more classes in the afternoon, the first being terrorism in CERT. And I guess that was, as you indicated a few minutes ago, that was a little scary and an eye-opener because it's not something that you or the general public actually get to dwell into that much.
Right.
And then the last class was disaster psychology. And we are lucky enough to have it taught by a doctor of psychology, one of our members that went through the training 5 years ago with me,
mm-hmm.
and then went on to become a CERT instructor. But she has been she's had a practice since 1980
mm-hmm.
in Manhattan Beach. So we're lucky that Dr. Hendricks is available to put her spin and her, bring her own perspective to a disaster as we know it.
As we were contemplating, thinking about doing this, the first class, the first Saturday a week ago, was just fine and wonderful and really interesting and valuable. Today, though, we got into the heart of what CERT does, last Saturday we got into the heart of what CERT does, which was disaster medical, and it was, just to say, in a word, George, it was heartrending what we are going to have to do, and that was probably why you coupled disaster medical and disaster psychology, because the idea that, the FEMA guidelines basically say you check for breath once, you check for breath twice, and if there's no signs of life, you move on. And mm-hmm. I think the guidelines were 30 to 90 seconds. You evaluate, you tag, and you move on. Now, of course, that could be stopping bleeding. You try to get that done in a minute and a half and get the person stabilized. If they're walking wounded, you try to get them, the order is a little bit out of sequence, but the first order of business is get all the walking wounded into a safe area by themselves. They're walking wounded. Maybe they can help and all that. But then you start doing the triage, which is the French word for sorting, and it's a very quick process to separate literally the living from the dead, the people that we can help, because we have limited medical training. We have limited training in general, but if we can separate them, we can help the ones that can be saved. The ones that can't be saved by us, because we don't have any, you know, equipment that EMTs have, the ones that can't be helped by us, we move on. It's very sobering, to say the least.
No, it is, and a lot of people, we had had a gentleman that went through the class, went through all three Saturdays of the class, and on the very last day, just pretty much got up in front of the class and said, "I have the greatest respect for you instructors, for those of you that are taking, but this is something now that I can't do. I cannot, you know, I can't take part in it. I don't feel right." And there are some people that are not able to deal with this, and that we, none of us really know, other than paid people that have seen people die, and I mean I have seen death. Mm. I could not change an elderly person's, you know, diaper.
Mm.
But to put me in a disaster situation, I'm quite confident that I could take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the conversation in the disaster psychology was, you know how I ended up and why I am like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And just that short moment there. But yeah, the idea of being able to triage and sort the people that need immediate assistance, as opposed to those that can be delayed, immediate. I'm sorry. The once you're able to find somebody, and there are three criteria. There's, you know, respiration, perfusion, and mental status,
mm-hmm.
RPM. Respiration on a person, we normally have, you know, breathe 1 to 20 times in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is breathing rapidly in excess, an adult, in excess of 30 times a minute, there's something wrong within that person's internal system. They're hyperventilating. They're having a problem. They may be going into shock. There may be something internally.
Mm-hmm.
The profusion side of it, where we do a Blanche test, either on the palm of the hand, on the back of your fingernails. If everybody listening looks at the back of their fingernails, if they're not painted, you know, there's some pink, there's some red to it. And if you push on that, it will turn white. You're pushing the blood out of the nail. And if in 2 seconds it turns back to red, then the circulation within the body is working well.
Mm-hmm.
And then mental status. If there are internal, if there's something wrong within the brain, there's some internal injury, somebody's confused. If somebody cannot, you know, tell you what day it is, where they are, the President of the United States, if they're out, then again, there's something wrong with those. And those are the three criteria that we utilize to determine if somebody is considered immediate and we need to put them and off to the side, and they would go with somebody that needs to get to a hospital first.
Mm-hmm.
Delayed, which is the next, the step down. There's the minor, the walking wound that we discussed, where, you know, they're not heavily they're not injured badly. Now, they may have a sore arm. There may be something wrong. But we're going to put them off as a minor at this time and let them go gather in a specific area. But once they get there, we're also going to reassess them. And we're going to make sure that they don't get worse. But in a delay, there could be somebody that has had a major broken, exposed bones, compound fracture, in a lot of pain. But if that person who's in pain, if their respiration is less than 30, they have good circulation, and they know what's going on, they conceivably would be a delayed, even if they have a broken bone. But if they're not bleeding out, then they can be a delayed.
Right.
They may not need to get to. They may be uncomfortable, but there may be more life-threatening
situations.
Situations, thank you. Yeah, that would go ahead and mean that somebody else should go to the hospital in an ambulance or on a helicopter first.
What struck me, George, and it's hard to convey over radio, but what struck me from the pictures is that if you are in a situation and there are people both injured and unconscious potentially, or even if potentially dead, this is going to cause people to enter into, as the psychologist said in that segment, everyone's going to enter into a trauma state. CERT members, as well as the people that went through the disaster, we're all going to enter into a trauma state because we're all being affected by this, and what we're going to see during that is going to affect all of us, and people are going to have emotions, and it's all going to this is the real heart and meat of it, and it was a tough day, starting right at the top.
You know, in those situations, George, what you were just talking about, the people that have been injured in some way but can be put aside for now because there are more pressing problems to deal with,
yep.
Those people can, you know, it may not be a big deal to the people at a triaging because, you know, they know what's going on, but to the person who has the injury, it's, you know, they need to be taken care of, and that's where a lot of the psychology comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
People can start freaking out, you know.
Hmm.
They may have a protruding bone, and, you know, but somebody assesses it and says, okay, you can wait a minute. We've got something, you know, more dire to deal with. But in their situation, they're like, wait a minute, whoa, I'm looking at my bone.
Right.
Somebody help me now. And they can freak out.
Oh, yeah. And this is always...
And they do freak out. They do freak out.
It's true. This is in these cases, and we learn. And you were taught yesterday that, as I mentioned a week ago, I'm sorry, at our first class, that it just seems like yesterday. our first class last Saturday, that
Joe is so traumatized.
Yeah, I tell you.
He still thinks it was yesterday.
Yes.
Well, he's still thinking about it. You know, there hasn't been that much going on. That on the back of my on my gloves,
right.
on one glove, it says stop and think. And on the back of my other leather glove, it says start where you are.
Hmm.
You'll never see firemen, paramedics, running to a scene of a fire or an incident. You're going to see them carrying their EMS bags, and they're going to be walking. They may be walking fast, but they're going to watch where they're going. So we don't want to run in. We want to size up the situation, and we want to know that any place that we are going to enter into or walk up to is going to be a safe environment for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we as individuals, whether it be CERT members or just anybody, the general public, you know, we are always you know, who's number one, and everybody says, I am. psychologically, yeah, people are going to be, and hopefully some there's going to be somebody else that can be there and be next to them and reassure them that everything is being done and that, you know, we will take care of them and they'll get the best care that's possible in this situation. There's still people out there that believe that in a disaster, I'm not talking about a house on fire. In a disaster, that they're going to call 911, somebody's going to answer, and as in Manhattan Beach is, most of the time it's around 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Well, when an EMS or a fire truck gets to our residences,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to happen. It has been determined it could be days or weeks before we have water, electricity, even gas back online.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, of course, this is something now that for, you know, going on 7 years, I've been trying to preach, to teach, you know, 300 and, you know, we get through this class, it'll be about 375 people that have gone through our classes in Manhattan Beach.
I got to ask you, George, I got to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
So that person that said, that was doing the classes with you and said, I'm sorry, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to those people? I mean...
That's fine. All right, you have, and again, a week ago Saturday at our first class, I instructed or I told everybody, but here, this is what we do, this is why we teach, and if when you leave here, you never come to another CERT training event or an activity, that's fine. We would love to have you take part in our continued education. In some of our seminars and our meetings and our family get-togethers as a fraternity, so that we have put this together. But if you don't, I still feel that I've done my job because I have taught you how to take care of yourself and your immediate family and a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to me for 24 hours, then you can go out and if you took some of this home, if you remember to drop cover and hold in an earthquake, or you have an extra fire extinguisher in each building or each floor of your home,
right.
And you have some medical supplies, then I've done my job and you should not ever be part of the problem.
And at the very least, they won't become a secondary casualty.
Right.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, we tell them that. And if that's how you feel after you've gone through it, and I recall after the terrorism psychology class, a woman actually dropped out of the class here a few years back also. So it's not for everybody. I wish it was.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could, comfortably get everybody to come in. The chief on Saturday, he stopped in after the open house, which I understand was a great success, and it was quite busy up at the police and fire open house. He stopped in to say hi to the class, and we talked about our percentages and the fact now that we're working towards, 2%,
mm-hmm.
where it is now, what is it? It's one in every 100. Yeah, one in every 100 resident in Manhattan Beach, roughly, has been CERT trained.
Mm-hmm. Now this is, as opposed to many of our shows, there are some shows, I have to say, where I'm at a loss, really, to ask the next question. But this is not going to be one of those shows. This
you're not asking questions, are you? You're supposed to be doing all of the explaining.
Well, I'm just saying that there was so much happened this past Saturday that there's no way that we could cram it all into 1 hour. It was amazing. Now, not to least of which was, George, I have to say that the talk by Chief Espinoza, Fire Chief of Manhattan Beach, was riveting and really underscores how important the city and how important the leadership of Manhattan Beach Fire Department, how important they feel that the CERT organization is and how proud they are of the work that you and your team do. That is something I've talked to. We've had Chief Espinoza on the show, and I've talked to him, and we've chatted, but to see him in person, to shake his hand, and then to hear him honor you, George, was very special.
Well, thank you. I mean, he's honoring the program, and we as an association are so lucky. I actually, and he speaks of it. Other people speak of it. I've received phone calls from Minnesota from fire departments that want assistance and guidance and trying to put together a CERT organization from all over. So that means that we as an association are doing something right. Yeah. We are part of the city's standard operating procedure in a disaster plan. We are written into it. We are an operational section of the fire department. Our command vehicle and a command and communication vehicle would literally follow the city's emergency bus that would go to wherever the most dangerous or the greatest loss of life incident would be, and our command vehicle would go there with it. So we would have direct, either by radio and or in person, communications with that person on the operations side, and be able to transmit what our findings are up the line to the city, to the Emergency Operations Center, mm-hmm. and then have the requests from them flow downward to us, so that we, if in a situation they would need us to move from one of our four areas to a specific place, we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
In October this year, our great shakeout exercise will be the city again. And we will test our activation. We will test our communications. We work closely with Neighborhood Watch in Manhattan Beach. We have a great Neighborhood Watch organization. And they, as block captains and members of Neighborhood Watch, will have their exercise, their Map the Neighborhood exercise, where they will be putting their I'm okay in the windows. They'll be meeting out on the streets with their fire extinguishers in case another neighbor has a fire. They all know now where their gas meters are and water meters, so they can shut them off if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And they will transmit up. They will carry to our four operational locations within the city sheets of paper that have been put together for them that says that this gas, there's a gas smell here, there's a water main break, there's a collapse, there's an injured person. And then we will actively transmit this information up to the city, or we will, in our cases, if we can, we will go write it. If it's shutting gas off, we'll shut the gas off. So we will dispatch people to areas where we can go help, and we will make sure that if there's down power lines, we'll find some way of blockading and barricading it off so nobody else gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets hurt, or we keep people away. So, you know, we've got a great organization, and we couldn't do it without our city support and especially our fire department support.
It just it makes me want to go and visit all of my neighbors right now and get them into a CERT class. I see a little bit of what can be done, and it makes me want to do more. It makes me want to be more involved. It's very exciting and also very sobering to know that only 1%, barely just over 1%, approaching 2%, have been trained. And is that enough? Who knows? We need more always. And that was before lunch. ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, a special program sort of documenting and talking about the CERT training that I'm going through right now. George has been talking about that for 2 years on this show, and Jackie has been trained, and it was time for me to do that, because that's what we're here to do, is to educate people. And so we're just having a roundtable discussion about that training, and it was amazing. And it's the website is mbcerta.org, mbcerta.org, if you want to find out more about George, one of the best CERT programs in the nation. That's what Chief Espinoza said.
I could never call a chief a liar.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jackie?
Yes.
I know normally we on the half hour, but last week we didn't, because this conversation went on. Do we have a sponsor?
Yes, we do. I'm ready when you guys are.
It's time.
All right. Well, like any preparation, it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, Certified Public Accountants and Consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, navigating your way to financial success.
There you go.
As I said, all part of the preparation process. You got to be prepared for everything.
Yeah.
You can't just sit back and hope somebody else is going to take care of it.
Well,
yeah, you can't, but some do.
Well, actually, the majority do, don't they, George? The majority.
Well, they do. Yeah.
They're expecting
If we, as we have discussed over, you know, the last 2 years, it's well and at 80%. Hmm. All right, or more of our population that actually still believes that there's, you know, that somebody is always going to be there to take care of them, because they've learned to be that way. You know, Manhattan Beach, remember, 34,000 plus, 34,000, 35,000, and 9 firemen on duty at any one time.
Yeah.
On a normal day, other than detectives or staff working at the police department, we have only 5 or 6 cruisers running around the city also.
Mm-hmm.
So and the majority of our paid responders, police and fire, do not live in the city of Manhattan Beach.
Mm.
So who's to say that, our employees, public works, whatever, are going to be able to get back here in a timely manner?
Mm.
I've told you guys this before. On my block where I live, I have, let's see, we have 2 firemen. I think one's a high up there, like a battalion chief or something. A couple of retired police officers.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 nurses. I know one is a surgical nurse. I know of at least 1 doctor that lives across the street from me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all of these great emergency personnel. And I remember at one of our neighborhood watch meetings, we were sitting there and the CERT team from Torrance came in and they gathered the neighborhood and they told us all this, and the doctor was sitting there and one of the firemen was sitting there and I said, well, then this block's in pretty good shape because we've got all these people. And they said, no, because they're going to have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They may be able to stop on their way out the door if there's anything big going on, but they have to report in for duty during
mm-hmm.
disaster. So the people of my block we're gonna be on our own, basically.
Right.
Yeah, the immediate impact, the nurses, the doctors, they're not gonna walk away.
Right.
At the immediate impact, but once things are stabilized, they are, because they are obligated to do everything they can to get back there. I will tell you right now, and anybody listening, probably the last place, unless it is truly a life-threatening injury to you, to go is to, in a disaster, to go off to a hospital.
Hmm.
Because it is going to be... you go to an emergency room now and you think an hour and a half or 2 hours is a long wait. Think about, days. They will be triaging people in parking lots outside.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you are an immediate, you're going to be sitting out there. There's not going to be chairs for you in a waiting room. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Your best bet is... if your residence and your neighborhood is intact, to be there with your neighbors to support them and let them support you, and then wait for somebody. If it's just stop the bleeding, you don't mm-hmm. feel good, I'm sick, but if you don't have to go to a, of course, nowadays. If I don't have to go to the hospital, I don't want to go to a hospital anyway, because often you go to a hospital, you get sick.
So we talked a little bit about disaster medical, and can't quite give it justice, but it was quite a morning. Then we went to lunch, and then Chief Chiella stirred it with Unit 8, Terrorism and CERT. And I think, George, I think that, when you talk about terrorism and CERT, there was a definition of terrorism, which I can't repeat. I mean, it was simple. The definition of terrorism is basically people want to create fear. They want to achieve some goal by hurting others. But really, when you look at, we love the South Bay, and it's a beautiful place to live, and it's a relatively affluent area. But when you look at the targets for terrorism in the South Bay, it's mind-numbing. For instance, there's this bridge. It's a railroad bridge over which 50,000 cars a day travel just south of Rosecrans. there's a bridge, and most people don't know that. It goes, it is the Green Belt. It's the beginning of the Green Belt in Manhattan Beach. You can walk underneath, run underneath. People do all the time. But that's a target. There's Hyperion, the largest waste treatment plant on the in the western United States. As a target, you say, well, waste treatment plant? I mean, how many people, you know, work there? What about loss of life? It's not loss of life. It's crippling the entire city of Los Angeles.
In one of the most disgusting ways.
In one of the most disgusting ways. And of course, Chevron, Mobile in Torrance, you know, of course, LAX, of course.
Yep.
It goes on. That was
the ports.
The ports, big time.
Right.
LA and Long Beach ports.
What
is terrorism?
Right.
The unlawful use of force or violence against persons or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof, and furtherance of political or social objectives.
So it isn't that we are exposed. It is that we have to be 100% perfect. And they just have to keep trying.
Yeah.
And as I was talking with, I think it was Chief Larson, we have to be vigilant all the time, but they're going to keep trying, and you can't be 100% perfect. That doesn't exist.
They only have to be right once, and we have to be right every time.
Right.
And not... You know, anybody that's gone through our CERT class in the last 3 or 4 years knows this, but in 2005, a small group of terrorists had a number of places targeted to bomb, and one of those places was our National Guard Armory, which actually was right next to Public Works in Manhattan Beach, where we were holding the class. Military base in Manhattan Beach on Bell Avenue, some places in Hawthorne and Los Angeles, Van Nuys area. This was all thwarted, and they were captured and are still in jail. When we're talking terrorism, just most recently, this 17-year-old boy that was going to kill his family and set off bombs and start a fire somewhere to distract the first responders away from the school, and then go back to the school, set off a bomb, and then shoot his fellow students as they were leaving. Here we go. Listen to what I say. See something, say something. If you see something out of order, never take it lightly. Don't think that somebody left it here, but don't worry about it. I mean, if you find a box or a backpack, people saw the Boston bombers actually set down a backpack and walk away, or put that backpack with the pressure cooker into a trash can.
Right.
They were out of place. People that saw the videos after the fact could see that they weren't acting just right. They weren't there to enjoy the festivities in the race. So if anybody sees something that just doesn't seem seems out of place, the woman doing her dishes looks out of her kitchen window and sees this kid go through the side yard over to a storage area, and it takes him much longer to get into a storage facility than one would think if they knew what they were doing. and the police, she calls the police, and they go and they find this. And that could have been as bad as a Columbine, if not worse.
Right. There's no way to really, again, there's no way to really convey all of the, it was a two-hour session, and it was packed. I mean, it was packed with video, it was packed with what is it, CBRNE?
That's it.
CBRNE.
Exactly.
CBR, chemical, biological, CBR, radiological, nuclear, and explosives. And
yep.
One of the things that he talked about in terms of the ranking of threats and tools for terrorism was that explosives are now considered number one, and not high explosives, not exotic, plastique or any other kind of explosives, but the kind of explosives that, well, what was the Oklahoma bombing was fertilizer and fuel
right.
oil.
These
are not exotic. These are everyday, literally industrial products in our lives all the time, and of course pressure cookers. These are not exotic weapons, but they can cause a great deal of harm. And it just underscored the fact that there will be another terrorist attack of some kind at some point in the future, and we just have to be vigilant and prepared, but we can't completely eliminate the risk. That's the point, I guess. And that's sobering.
Exactly. It is.
I want to know, Joe, what freaked you out the most out of the class on Saturday?
Okay, well, there was two things. One is there was a comment at one point about, you know, won't you know, this is all very good and all that, but, you know, won't there be other professionals there? Because looking around the room, the gist of the comment was, looking around the room, we're not really that capable, or we won't be that prepared to help people in a disaster. And the idea is, I raised that there won't be anyone else. We are all that there is if we choose to help at all. Some people, even people that are trained in CERT, probably will not respond to the call. They will not become activated. The other thing is, the most disturbing, really, was the evening, or the afternoon on Saturday, which was the terrorism. I think basically it's so easy for terrorists, because they have so many targets and they have so many varied ways of hurting people, that we're all walking, you know, at one point I think someone said, you're going to go to a major sporting event anymore? Are you going to, you know, participate in any event where there's a crowd anymore? When you think about the danger, and you can't. You just got to block it out.
It's the times we live in.
Right.
It is. And after a disaster, people talk about getting things back to normal. And after something like the Boston bombing, things never get back to how they were before. It becomes a new normal.
Right.
And whether it's a natural disaster, a man-made disaster, or a terrorism, it's never going to be like it was before. It's going to be something different, and we will adjust and live on.
Yeah.
It is what it is, and
exactly.
And you do what you got to do to go on.
So, how about psychology? How about disaster psychology? We've only got about 10 minutes left here.
Right. So 2 hours on terrorism, and that was amazing. And then an hour and a half on disaster psychology. And I think by far the very first thing that jumps out at me about disaster psychology is that Of course, people are going to be traumatized who are injured, who are in a bombing or in some other kind of a disaster or an earthquake, whatever, a building collapses, whatever. But the first responders, that is us, the first responders, the people that try to help, are going to be thrown into a type of trauma that is not only well documented, but can be debilitating. I mean, the trauma that you will experience trying to help will be life altering. That was pretty amazing, the presentation on how we all are going to be affected. We're all going to have emotions that we may or may not be prepared to deal with. And I tell you, George, I was surprised at how well prepared the whole FEMA organization and this CERT training was to describe and to find ways of, you know, dealing with this aspect of a disaster. That was amazing.
There's, in all of our cases, FEMA, and anybody can go and Google or Yahoo search or Bing search or whatever you use, FEMA space CERT, and it'll take you to the website, and it will take you to the classes, the CERT class, the IS-317 class. And you can pick up and you can download the basic CERT PowerPoint presentations, as well as the basic FEMA videos that are put there. We, as our own organizations, we add to this. Dr. Hendricks added the children's side of this. She thought it was important that our members get a couple of slides and that she takes some moments to talk about how the young people are going to feel in this. Mm-hmm. And we've had guests on our show in the past that talk about the children or you know, young people or older senior people, whatever, with some special needs, and psychologically, and we're all going to, you know, kind of fall into this, whether it's our own personal losses or in our neighbors helping friends and coworkers. We always talk about this being in our neighborhood. What happens if this is when you're at work? All right. We have a disaster while at work. You know, we always think about, I don't work in Manhattan Beach.
Right.
You know, I work over in Gardena, and I will do what I have to do to stabilize the situation in Gardena, and then I will do everything that I can to get back into Manhattan Beach.
Right.
So that I can assist my community here.
Right.
And hopefully that's not going to be a bridge out or power lines down and gridlock. Because if you don't need to drive, you shouldn't be driving. And while I have this, you shouldn't let your gas tank get below half full.
Right.
Because when the power goes out, the gas stations aren't going to be able to pump gas. The grocery stores are not going to be able to run their cash registers. So think about that, ladies and gentlemen.
We've talked often about what a wonderful place to live, the South Bay. We love living in the South Bay. Jackie and I and you, George, are blessed living close, working close to the South Bay. Even Gardena is close, but so many people.
Gardena is the South Bay.
Okay,
it was the South Bay.
Yeah,
okay. It's
yeah. I mean,
it's
only 6 miles.
But it's
less than 6 miles up the street. That's
but
all.
So many of our friends, so many of people that we know, work in downtown L.A. Pasadena.
My husband works on the West Side.
On the West Side.
Yeah.
If there is a major earthquake, no way will the traffic allow them to get back in any timely manner.
he complains about the traffic now.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's the perfect scenario.
Right.
Is Jackie, who works out of home and does everything that she does and working the South Bay and around.
Right.
And then John up on the west side.
Right.
All right. How are the two of you going to feel? How will you be able to react and function if John's up there and maybe all of us, maybe you can't get through on a cell phone even. You have
a
no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea whether your husband, your wife, your children are safe or not.
Right.
So, you know, the emotions of that are certainly going to play at any time.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I know he has his go bag, so that'll give me, you know, something to hold on to.
Right.
You know, if he can't, if the roads are down or whatever, I know as long as he has his go bag, he can do it.
Right.
Assuming he's okay.
Right.
A couple of announcements real quick for our listeners. This Monday evening, budget talks in Manhattan Beach, starting at 6 o'clock, will be human resources and then police and then fire is after that. So if anybody's interested in hearing about our fire budget or our police, they start at 6. Probably police would be in the 7 o'clock range and fire 8 o'clock unless something happens and it goes over. On 5/29, our seniors group will have a Dine and Discover get together at the Jocelyn Center from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And members of NOAA and our National Weather Service are going to come and teach people how to be storm spotter trained. So Skywarn, which is something. So you can become a storm spotter in the South Bay by coming to that class. And then on 6/4, on June 4th, 6 p.m. at the Jocelyn Center in Manhattan Beach, Margaret Vinci will be back to for a town hall meeting, speaking again of earthquakes, what's been happening over the last couple of months now, and the Ring of Fire on the West Coast, another earthquake just 2 days ago, the coast of Mexico, a rather large one. And so that's what's just going on right now, just to make our listeners aware of.
Well, clearly I am very much affected by this sort of training. I everything's gone out the window. I've forgotten all about our format and everything. It's just...
You're still traumatized. But I got some good news for you, Joe.
What?
When the proverbial stuff hits the fan, you won't have to run to either George's or my house. You'll be ready.
Yep, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
I have to say, moreprepared.com. Is it Jose or Hector?
Yeah, it was Jose.
Jose was there, had a spread on the table outside of our classroom. Very, very, very nice spread. Moreprepared.com. Please visit them. Please frequent them and give them your business, because they really are getting us as prepared as we can be. They make it so easy for us. If you go to moreprepared.com, George.
Owned and operated by, you know, the two local women, you know, mothers that started this some years ago because they wanted their children and their schools prepared.
Right.
And they have grown now to a national company providing big business schools all over the country and states.
Right, right. It's a beautiful thing, and I feel that you know, this is long overdue, and I'm very, very glad, George, that we're doing this. But of course, it was Jackie who railroaded me into this. So.
Exactly.
I'm good at that.
Next week, next Tuesday, we're going to do it again, and Joe will talk about fire safety,
right,
being able to put out fires, and
right,
being thrown to the wolves that afternoon.
In our disaster simulation, yes, I will. So
that was a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks so much, George. Thank you for everything, and thank you, Jack.
You are
always
quite
a pleasure,
welcome.
Guys.
All right. Bye-bye now.